Well, I'm going to start this bit of the evening by talking about the general theme for this little talk I'm going to be giving. And the theme is based on a new practice I've recently taken up. It's the Anusati practice. Now, Anusati is a Pali word that means recollection, remembrance. You can use it for meditation, it can be used for the word mindfulness. But the Anusati practice itself is a recollection practice, a continuous recollection of a number of subjects. The practice I've got has six. I'm not going to go into all of them, but I'm just going to say, it suffice to say, the first one is the Buddha. So part of my practice at the moment is to continuously recollect the Buddha to the best of my ability. Now, of course, there's lots of ways you can go about doing that. You can reflect on all his teachings. You can actually meditate on an image of his of the Buddha, so that you've always got in your head an image of the Buddha. the Theravadana, the first section of it, is all about praising the Buddha, so you can just repeat that. But the most significant way I find of recollecting the Buddha is doing my best to connect to the historic Buddha. I find I have an affinity with my thoughts about the historic Buddha. Now, there's quite a few books and articles and texts and whatever written about the life of the Buddha, and picking up any of those and looking through those is quite a useful way of doing it. But what has the most significance for me is actually going back to the Pali Canon itself, to the words that came out as near as the Buddha's time as can possibly be. Whether or not the actual words the Buddha said, some people say that they are, and I'm quite happy with what's there. and of course, in the Pali Canon, you can find loads of stories about the Buddha, all his teachings. And with a bit of imagination, because for all of their wonder, I suppose is the word, for all of their wonder, the texts are a bit dry, because they are sort of, they were set for repetition for all traditions, so they do tend to be a little bit on the dry side. But with a little bit of imagination, it doesn't take much to sort of fill it out, so you can actually imagine the Buddha being there in his group of monks when he's talking to them, and you can imagine the setting they're in. So it's very easy to, for me in particular, to fill out the missing details to a point. I suppose it's because I've got quite a vivid imagination. and I quite like reading suttas like that, sort of adding the bits about, trying to give a bit more depth to any of the characters in it. And a bit more life to the situation rather than just the words of the teaching or the words of whatever. So the overall theme for this evening is recollecting the Buddha by using the Pali Canon, and I'm going to do that by reference to one particular sutta. This sutta is a little bit different to most others in that it doesn't include a teaching of the Buddha. It doesn't include a parable that's got a teaching in it. It isn't even really a story about our Buddha. It's a story told by our Buddha to his companion Ananda. It's actually the Gatikara Sutta. It's from the middle-length discourses, the Majjhima Nikaya. And it's the 81st one, so if you want a reference, it's MN81. But it is the Gatikara Sutta. And it naturally breaks into three sections. So there'll be a little. I'll be pausing the narrative to have a little reflect on what I've spoken about as we go along. But the Gatikara Sutta begins with the Buddha and a group of monks wandering around northern India, as was their wont, and they come through this clearing, and the Buddha starts to smile. And Ananda notices that he's smiling, and he thinks, oh, the Buddha doesn't just smile for no reason, so I'll ask him why he's smiling. So, Ananda does ask the Buddha, why are you smiling? And the Buddha says, well, I recognise this place. There used to be a town here called Vebalinga. Aeons ago, it was a market town. And the Buddha of that aeon used to live close by. And he used to come and visit this town quite often. And the Buddha of that aeon was called Kassapa, the Enlightened One. And so Ananda said, oh, well, why don't we stop here? And then this place will have been blessed with two enlightened beings visiting it. So they did. They sat down and they stayed there for a while. And while staying there, the Buddha said to Ananda, let me tell you a tale of one of the inhabitants of Vebalinga. This inhabitant was Gatikara the potter. Now, as soon as you get a name with a trade after it, you know they're talking about a layperson. It's not a bhikkhu or a monk or anything. So Gatikara the potter was a layperson. But he was a follower of the Buddha of that time, Kassapa. And he was quite a devoted follower. And he lived there. And on this occasion that the Buddha is telling Ananda about, Kassapa was coming to visit. So Gatikara thought, well, I'll go along and listen to his talk. But Gatikara had a friend called Jyotipala, who was a Brahmin student. And Gatikara thought, I'll take my friend with me. So he goes off to see Jyotipala and says, let's go and listen to Kassapa talk. He's an enlightened being, it will be good for us. And Jyotipala says, I'm not going to go and listen to some bored old man, it'd be boring. So Gatikara said, no, let's go. And Jyotipala said, no, I'm not going to go listen to this bored old man. And a third time, Gatikara asked, and he got the same answer. In fact, he got enough. Gatikara, I'm just not going. So they said, okay, well, let's... Gatikara said, okay, so let's go to the river to bathe. So off they went to the river to bathe. Now, I got the sneaking feeling that Gatikara wanted to be clean to go and see Kassapa the Buddha, but that obviously wasn't in Jyotipala's mind at the time. He was just going down there to bathe. So after they'd bathed, Gatikara then said again, let's go and listen to the Buddha. Same answer, I'm not going to go listen to a bored old boring man. So he asked him a second time, and a third time, got the same answer. And Gatikara was getting a bit fed up with this. He thought, I'm going to get him to go. So he grabbed hold of his belt and started pulling him along. And Jyotipala said, I'm not having any of this. He undid his belt. So Gatikara was left holding his belt, and Jyotipala standing there saying, no, I'm not going. So Gatikara thought, okay, I've got to do something drastic. So he grabs hold of his hair. Now, Brahmins didn't cut their hair, so he must have had a sort of really long ponytail. So I can imagine Gatikara dragging him along the road. And Jyotipala says, wait, he's actually grabbed hold of me, and I'm a Brahmin. So this really must mean something to him. So, okay, I'll go. So he said, okay, Gatikara, let's go. So off they went to listen to Kassapa. And Gatikara got there, and Gatikara introduced Jyotipala to Kassapa. So you get the feeling that Gatikara was somebody that Kassapa knew and was really a devoted follower. And so they listened, they sat and they listened to a Dharma talk. The sutta gives no reference to what the talk was about. All it says is they came away feeling wonderful. And Jyotipala said to Gatikara, well, after you've listened to that, why don't you go forth into homelessness and follow the Buddha? And Gatikara says, well, you know I can't. I've got two blind, aged parents to look after, and I'm the town potter, so I can't go forth. So Jyotipala said, okay, well, I'm going forth. So next day, Gatikara takes Jyotipala back to Kassapa and says, my friend, Jyotipala was quite impressed. He wants to go forth, can he follow you? And of course the Buddha Kassapa accepts him and off he goes. And that's basically the end of the first part of the story. Apart from, I have to flip to the very last phrase in the sutta, which I'm going to read because I want to make certain that I've got the words right. Right at the very end of the sutta, after everything else has been said, the Buddha's talking to Ananda and he says, "Now, Ananda, you may think, certainly someone else was the Brahmin student, Jatipala, on that occasion, but it should not be regarded thus. I was the Brahmin student, Jatipala, on that occasion." So what we have here is a tale being told by our Buddha about a history aeons back about another Buddha, and he was there in one of his previous lives. Now, to me, that's one of the important parts from this section, that the Buddha was giving a teaching about his previous life. And I quite like this one because a lot of the stories you have about the Buddha's previous lives, they tend to be a bit sort of mythologized, or they've always got a moral part of the tale. So they to me, a lot of them have a feel of being made up. Now, I quite like mythological tales. I mean, the one that always sticks in my mind was the one where the Buddha comes across, or the Buddha in his previous life, comes across a hungry female tiger who's got cubs and she can't feed them. So he lets the tiger eat him, so she can feed her cubs. That really has the tale, sort of a moral tale and a bit of mythology. It just doesn't feel like a true story. It feels like a very good story and very useful, but not a true one. But this one, it feels real to me, because Jatipala wasn't anything special. He was a Brahmin student, and I think the word recalcitrant would fit. In fact, first time I read it, I thought he was a bit of a jerk, really. But, okay, he does redeem himself by going forth in the end, but he takes an awful lot of persuading to get there. So there's the Buddha telling a tale about himself, and not in the best light, shall we say. And I think the way he describes him, he explains that it's him, he's sort of almost poking fun at himself. No, certainly someone else was a Jatipala student, is what you would think. But of course it wasn't, it was me. You know, so I think there's sort of almost a light-hearted element to that. And I think this first section, not only does it bring out the strength of teaching about rebirths and the Buddha's previous lives, I think it also shows that the Buddha could be light-hearted. I mean, from the point of when he was smiling to the almost comic situation of Jatipala being dragged down the road by his hair, I get the feeling the Buddha enjoyed telling this bit of the story. So, to me, it adds the fact that the Buddha could have fun. In fact, he could be funny. So it wasn't all serious teaching and, you know, everybody dour and miserable. It was fun as well. So I quite like that bit too. The next part of the story, we have this king appear, the local king. Now, I love this king's name, King Kiki of Kasa. I've wanted to give a talk on this sort of just so I can say King Kiki of Kasa out loud a few times. But King Kiki of Kasa, I'll stop and just call him King from now on. The king came along and listened to Kasapa and was mightily impressed. So he said to Kasapa afterwards, "Come to my palace for a meal tomorrow." So they agreed, and the next day the Buddha Kasapa and his followers all turned up, and a meal had been prepared, but the king served it himself. Now I think that's quite significant, the king serving the Buddha and his followers himself. And then afterwards, the king said, "Come and stay in my residence for the rainy retreat." For those of you who don't know, the Buddha wandered around India until the rains came, and then they stopped somewhere and stayed as much out of the rain as they possibly could. If you've ever been in a monsoon, you'll know why. But the king offers, I assume, his residence, one of his palaces maybe, and we don't know. I get the idea that it was a bit fancy he was offering. But the Buddha Kasapa says, no thanks, we've already got our Veni retreat sorted. So the king offers again, and the Buddha says no, and the king offers again, the Buddha says no. You'll find in most suttas, when things happen, they usually happen in threes. So he offered three times, he was refused three times. And the sutta said the king was sad and disappointed. Doesn't give any other emotion, he wasn't angry or anything like that, he was sad or disappointed. And he said to the Buddha Kasapa, you must have a better follower than me. And the Buddha says, yes, I have. So I'll look back and stop there and look back on that bit for a little bit. Because what that shows me, particularly the way the king served the meal himself, the amount of respect the king had for the Buddha. So we... From a lot of other suttas, you get a lot of impression of the way the Buddha interacts with other people. With this one, you've got the other way round. You've got the way the other people are interacting with the Buddha. The king is showing him so much respect that he's got off of his throne and served his food himself. I can't imagine him doing that for many of his other guests. And then when his offer of somewhere to stay is refused, he feels sad about it, feels disappointed, but there's no indication that he got angry about it. He just said, you must have a better follower than me. And if you pop back to the first bit as well, Gatikara obviously has a great deal of respect for the Buddha. And eventually, Jotipala did as well. So there's this general view, or this general impression you get, that the Buddha is someone who earns, gets, deserves the respect of everyone he meets with. But none of them seem to be in awe of him, so they weren't frightened. But there's just this great deal of respect. And I just think that comes through in this particular telling of this little bit of the tale. And then the story continues with Kasapa telling the king about his better follower, who is Gatikara the Potter. They're going to stay with Gatikara the Potter for the rainy retreat. Now, I can't imagine that Gatikara's got a palace or anything. I mean, he lives in a town, he's a potter. So he must have offered them, I don't know, some ground, a piece of park or a piece of woodland to stay in. But Kasapa chose there. And he says it's because Gatikara is his follower, is his chief follower. And this is a lay person he's talking about. And he goes on to explain why Gatikara is such a good follower. Now, I'm going to read another bit. It's a little bit longer. It says, the potter Gatikara has gone for refuge to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. He abstains from killing living beings, from taking what is not given, from misconduct in sensual pleasure, from false speech, and from wine, liquor, and intoxicants, which are the basis of negligence. He has unwavering confidence in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, and he possesses the virtues loved by noble ones. He is free from doubt about suffering, about the origin of suffering, about the cessation of suffering, and about the way leading to the cessation of suffering. He eats only one meal a day, he observes celibacy, he is virtuous, of good character. He has laid aside gems and gold. He's given up gold and silver. When he has made a pot, he says, let anyone who likes set down some selected rice or selected beans or selected lentils and let him take away whatever he likes. He supports his blind and aged parents, and having destroyed the five lower fetters, he is the one who will reappear spontaneously in the pure abodes and there attain final nirvana. So he's just in a number of, in a few sentences, has explained how Gatikara is practicing the Dharma in his life and what it means to Gatikara, and what it actually means to the Buddha to have a follower like that. But he then goes on to say that it's not all sweetness and light. There is some effort needs to be put in by the people. And he says, on one occasion when I was living at Vebalinga, and I was on my arms round, I went to Gatikara's house, and there was a pot of rice and a pot of sauce. He wasn't there, but his parents were. So I asked his parents if I could take some, and he said they said yes. And when he came, when Gattikawa came home, he said, who's taken my rice? Who's taken my sauce? And they said, well, Kasapa came for alms, and we gave it to him. And he said, Gattikawa said, well, that's fine. And it says he felt blessed for half a month afterwards. And a second time, Kasapa describes going to get food, and this time it was porridge, just for different food. But same thing, Gattikawa wasn't there, so he asked his parents, and they took it. And Gattikawa came back, and when told that Kasapa had taken it, he said, that's fine by me, and was blessed again for half a month, 2 weeks, half a month. But then there's a third section, there's a third bit of the tale, where Kasapa was looking for a roof for his hut. I assume that's thatching. So he sent out his monks to find some roofing. They turn up at Gattikawa's place when Gattikawa isn't there, when his mother and father is there, and they notice a nice thatch on Gattikawa's workshop. So they say to his parents, can we take his roof? And his parents just say, yes. So the monks take down his roof and take it back, and I assume put up the roof for Kasapa. And when Gattikawa comes home, he goes, oh, what's happened to my roof? And again, he gets the story from his parents that the monks came along and they needed it, so they took it. And Gattikawa says, well, that's fine by me. And it says in the sutta that he spent 3 months without a roof in the rainy season, but no rain came in. So I don't quite know how that bit worked. But again, he said he was felt blessed for half a month. Now, the king, on hearing this from Kasapa, says, well, I have to reward Gattikawa because he's obviously a wonderful follower. So he sends rice, some rice, to Gattikawa. But being a king, of course, it isn't one bowl. It's 500 cartloads of rice. So this all turns up at Gattikawa's place, and he says, oh, I don't need all this rice. Let the king deal with it as he wants. So he sends it back to the king. And apart from that last sentence I said, I've already told you about where I'm telling Ananda that he was Jatipala. That's where the sutta ends. And for that last stage, it just reminds me, or that allows me to see, that though in the previous stage we had everybody respecting the Buddha, in this last one we've got the Buddha respecting his followers. There he is rejoicing in the merits of Gattikawa, singing his praises to the king, no less, about how he follows the Dharma. So this is respect coming the other way. But also, the Buddha then just tells the three little tales about dana, I suppose, about giving, as the challenges that come when you are following the Dharmic practice. Now, the ordinary support of food as alms to monks is something that everybody in those days was expected to give. So I sort of focus on the one where he came and took a roof, which was much more than just taking a bowl of porridge or a bowl of rice. So I see that as a bigger challenge. There's bigger challenges in my life in following the Dharma than there is just sticking £5 in the dana bowl here. There's a change that's almost like changing my entire life, because that's what it seems to have done for Gattikawa. And if you think about it, we're lay followers. We're not monks who've gone forth. So we come under the same sort of heading that Gattikawa does. So if we follow the teachings and we're prepared to sacrifice, I'd get the Buddha's respect too. And I quite like that. That makes me feel good. If I'm following the Dharma to the best I can, there's a Buddha somewhere, who would respect me. So that's the sutta as we have it. So we have this sutta has the three parts to it. The first part, which has Jatipala in it, which is a previous incarnation of the Buddha. So you've got the recollection that the Buddha has rebirths. Rebirth is a central part of the Buddhist teachings. That is a recollection that first bit brings to mind. The second section, we've got everybody showing the Buddha maximum respect. And the third part, you've got the Buddha showing respect back. And as I said, over the whole thing, there seems to be a feeling of lightheartedness to this sutta when you read it, particularly the first stage and that last statement. So, yeah, I think the Buddha enjoyed telling this tale. And that's another thing to recollect, that the Buddha had fun as well. So I think Sangha Acharya says, if you're not enjoying the Dharma, you're doing it wrong. So, or your practice, you're doing it wrong. So the Buddha here seems to be enjoying his practice. And all of that from one sutta. You can't beat the Pali Canon, honest. Thank you.